song just before the last one we sang that Sister Gloria was testifying about, My Savior, first of all. And William Cowper wrote, There is a fountain filled with blood. Thinking about the two there, the poor blind young girl never could see anything in this life, and yet she got a glimpse of the blessed Savior with those inward eyes, those spiritual eyes. And was a great soul used mightily of the Lord. There, William Cowper, a man who was probably one of the greatest minds that ever was, a brilliant man, a great intellect, but lived a life of confusion. Cowper tried to take his life several times, occasion after occasion. He wanted to kill himself and never could accomplish the feat of suicide. And one day the Lord revealed himself to him, and he wrote such songs as There Is a Fountain. He knew what it was to plunge beneath the blood of Christ, to lose all that guilty stain of sin, to know the peace of God. Well, he was another that was mightily used of the Lord. God raises up unusual people to be a blessing to the world, and yet the world will not receive them, for the world received him not. Won't you look in your Bibles to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. Let's go back and begin with verse 1. We preached from this chapter last Sunday morning, out of verse 9, on the text that we draw from here, the light that lighteth every man. We want to go a little further down and preach out of verse 10, 11, 12, and 13. But let's read again the scriptures as we look in verse 1 of chapter 1 of John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Notice these last four verses that I'll read. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came to his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Now I want you to notice, as we pull a thought for a text, or pull a text here for a thought, out of verse 12, Bible said, but as many as received him. And I want to preach on as many as received him, and give you a few thoughts concerning this portion of God's Word that'll help you you're lost without God, you don't know the Lord as your Savior, and maybe this will be a blessed time when the Holy Spirit will be pleased to open your minds and shine some light into the darkness. You notice in verse 5, the Bible said that the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. That's our problem. The world's full of darkness. The light shines, but there's no apprehension. There's no apprehension of that light. This is where we're forced, if we know God, to trust Him completely in our dealings with man over salvation. It's impossible for me to reach you. You're lost without God. You have no hope in me. I cannot, no way whatsoever, reach you. I can't help you. I can't deliver you. You're bound down in sin. You're lost in a world of darkness. You don't know God. You don't know the things of God. And there's no way that I can convey them to you. But the Holy Spirit, the blessed Spirit of God that dwells in my heart and who's in the world to convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment, He's present here this morning. He's present. My dependence is upon Him. I can't reach it psychologically. If I did, I might only draw out of you mental or psychological assent to what I'm saying, but the Holy Spirit can move upon you and can cause the whole personality to reach out after the Christ of this Bible, to apprehend this life. And so I trust this morning we might, as children of God, trust and depend upon Him now for this hour to try to reach somebody for His blessed name's sake. Now there's two things I want to point out in the way of introduction here as we get into the message. I want you to know, verse 10 said He was in the world and the world was made by Him. Speaking of the Word, that we look back to verse 1 and see as John introduces this gospel, the Word. It was in the beginning, it was with God, and the Word was God. You notice the Word's capitalized, that's a noun. That's a noun that we see here. And the noun is speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the very title, this is His name. He is the Word. Revelation 19 said that He is the Word of God. He's the faithful and true witness. He's the Word of God. And a word is a way of communication. That's the very essence, the meaning of word. It means to communicate. And in other words, John says that in the beginning was the Word. The communication was in the beginning. And then he goes on and said, and the Word was with God. God's communication was with Him. Then it says that the Word was God. The communication is God. Then in verse 14, he says, and the Word was made flesh, or became flesh. And that the Word dwelt, or set up His tent, literally is what the Greek text says, set up His tent among us. In other words, God came down, and God being communication and God being the only means of conveying Himself unto man, came down and tabernacled or set up His tent among men. Now, how did He do that? Christ is the very communication of God. Christ is God. And Christ must convey God to men if man is to know anything about God. And therefore, God came in the flesh. And God set up Himself, or He tabernacled among men in the flesh. All right, now, he says that he was in the world. God was in the world. Christ, the Christ of God, was in the world. And the world was made by him. But now, the world knew him not. Now, I want you to note that. And remember that. There's a key to what we're going to try to preach to you. Then verse 11, notice this. But, notice this, and he, or he came unto his own. Now his own is referencing the natural seed. Christ was coming to his own, or unto the seed of Abraham. In other words, he came to the Jewish nation. You remember in the book of Matthew, chapter 15, I believe it is, the Bible said that when he went into the coast of Caesarea and of Tyre and along the coast of Sidon, that there was a woman that came out of Caesarea, out of Sidon, and that this woman was a Canaanitish woman, which was a heathen, a Gentile, and she came to Christ begging that Christ might heal her sick daughter. But Christ made a profound statement unto her. He said, I am not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And so Christ tells us here that he came into the world. That's the Gentiles. And the world knew him not. They was ignorant as to who he was. But he came unto his own then. And his own received him not. Now that's simply unbelief. Alright, now there's two things I want you to know. The world knew him not because of ignorance. Israel received him not because of their unbelief. Alright, now let's look on. But as many, this brings us to the very thought that I want to try to preach on. But as many, he says, as many as received him, and you ought to underline that, and study the tense on that word. This is perverted much today. Many use this verse as an invitation to a sinner for salvation. And they'll approach some lost sinner and say, well, the Bible said in John 1:12, as many as receives, but that's not what it says, is it? As many as receives him, they'll say, can become the sons of God. But that's not what he's talking about at all. He says, but as many as receive, past tense. It's an act already accomplished here. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. The word power there is simply authority. That's what it means. To them gave he the authority, or to bring it down in language that we better understand, to them gave he the right to become the sons of God. All right, now this is a legal term. This has to do with legality. And this is what we're dealing with. All right, but he goes on and says something else now. But I want you to notice, as we stop here just for a few minutes, and try to talk with you concerning the peculiarity of this statement. Now notice, first of all, as I mentioned, this brings us to the as many. And I want you to dwell on this. As many. Who are the as many? Well, first of all, let me say this. They're they which were a peculiar or a particular or a unique race. They were neither the world in verse 10, neither were they the natural seed or the seed of Abraham in verse 11. For in verse 10, the Bible says, because of the ignorance of the world, they knew him not. And because of the unbelief of Israel in verse 11, they received him not. But now here is a particular, a distinct race of people that did receive him. Now who was they? Well, they were particular. They were peculiar. Now we can get into the doctrine here if we wanted to of God's particular redemption. We know that Christ did not die for the whole world of mankind.
but that Christ died for a race of men and women, boys and girls, that was to be redeemed out from among mankind. And we could get into that, but that's not our point here today. We want to talk about these particular people that he's talking about in verse 12. Now I want you to notice, first of all, they were peculiar because of a unique birth. Now notice verse 13. He said this as many in verse 12, that he gave power to be called the children of God. He says in verse 13 that these were born not, notice that, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of the will of God. Alright, now here we notice that they had a unique birth. Now these people were Christ-born people, in other words. Now to have a unique birth, first of all, one must have a natural birth. One must come into the world. And we come into the world by the will of blood and by the will of flesh and by the will of man. Now all three of these things are involved when we come into the world naturally. The Bible said that the life of the flesh is in the blood. And so we couldn't be living naturally unless we came in by the will or by the means of blood, which gives us natural life. All right, we came into the world by blood. We came into the world by the will of flesh, or this carnal that we see. The emotions, the affections that we know about. We came into the world by this. Someone had to desire for us to be here in order for us to be here. In other words, so it was a work of the flesh, it was work of blood, and it was work of man. It was man's thought that brought us in here. Alright, as I speak to you on a logical basis now. But this birth concerning the as many. This is what we want to talk about. This was a unique birth. This birth was not a physical birth. It was not something that you could see. Now you could see its evidences, but you couldn't see in actuality this birth take place. For this was a spiritual birth. And therefore, it was an invisible birth. You can see the evidence as it's manifested after it's been done, but in the working of it, you can't see it. Now, why is that? Because it's a work of the Spirit of God. No man can be born outside being born of the Spirit of God, being born into the family of God. We're talking about getting into this heavenly relationship now. The Bible said in verse 1 of chapter 3, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. All right, now notice this. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, except he be born again, Jesus said, he cannot see the kingdom of God. In other words, Christ gives us a great spiritual truth here. There's no way a man can get into heaven without spiritual revelation. I don't care how smart a man is. It matters not how many degrees he may have. It matters not how many colleges he may have went through. How much intellectual ability that he might have. It matters not. A man that's not been born from above cannot see the kingdom of God. He's got no spiritual concept of it whatsoever. That's what he's talking about here. So the uniqueness of this birth is that it's a spiritual birth. It's not a physical birth. And the as many in verse 12 of John 1 are those who have experienced a spiritual birth. And dear friend, unless you get born again, unless God birthed you and His family by the blessed Holy Spirit, you'll never reach heaven. Now notice, as we read on, Nicodemus didn't understand this. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto you, notice this now, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot, notice this, enter the kingdom of God. All right, he throws another hitch in it. He says that a man can't see the kingdom of God unless he's born again. He elaborates on the new birth, says a man's got to be born of water and of Spirit before that he can enter the kingdom of God. All right, now let's go a little farther. What's he talking about? Nicodemus is still in the dark on this. That which is born of flesh is flesh. That which has been born of the will of flesh is still flesh. There's nothing that you can do with it. There's no way that you can make it acceptable unto God. My friend, it's still flesh. And unless God does a work inwardly upon that heart and changes that heart, the relationship with God shall never be changed. That's what he's talking about. All right? Now notice. Jesus said and answered in verse 5, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And that's essential. Man's going to heaven, he's got to get born again. He's got to be born again. There's no way he can get born again unless God moves on his heart, does an inward supernatural work there that changes that man. There's no way. All right, notice, and he said in verse 7, marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. All right, now he uses an illustration, illustrating his message concerning the spiritual birth. He talks about the wind. The wind is always a symbol of the Holy Spirit in the Bible. All right, notice what we see here. The wind bloweth where it listeth or where it wills. You can't make the wind blow. There's nothing you can do about it when it starts blowing. No man can stop the wind. No man can cause the wind to blow. I'm talking about naturally speaking. There's no way. The natural wind that forces things in this world and in this universe does what he pleases. And there's a picture of the Holy Spirit. In other words, Jesus was telling Nicodemus, you can't rush this thing on. You can't make it come on. He says the Spirit of God moves like the wind. He bloweth where he listeth, or ever however he pleases. All right? And thou hearest the sound thereof, but cannot tell where it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. And so man must be born from above. And so we see then the uniqueness of this as many, this race in John chapter 1 verse 12, that God labels as the as many. This is a race of particular, peculiar people. They're neither of the world, they're neither of Israel, but they are those that have had a supernatural work of grace in their heart. They've been born from above. So then, they don't have a physical, but an invisible, a supernatural, not a natural, but a supernatural birth from above. They don't have, they're not common, but they have a mystical birth. In other words, this is the greatest mystery that you'll ever endeavor to dive in. The mystery of the new birth. Paul said, great is the mystery of godliness. No man can figure the mysteries of God. I could no more sit down and tell you and explain to you how I got born again than nothing in this world. I can tell you what takes place. I can tell you what the Bible says about it. But as far as sitting down and giving you a technical logical reasoning as to what happened, I can't tell you that. Because it's a great mystery. It's just like the man that was born blind in John 9. When they came to him, asking him who the man was that had touched his blind eyes and caused the sight to be restored. He said, I don't know. I don't know what happened. I can't tell you who he was. I can't tell you how it happened. He said, all I know is that I was once blind, but now I see. And that's it. All I know is, my friend, that I was once lost, but glory to God, now I'm saved. I was once blind and couldn't see the kingdom of God, but praise be unto God, I can look into the beauties of God's kingdom today. I can't explain that. I can't give you a logical or a technical, not even a theological discourse and explain to you. If you can't see it, my friend, God will have to open your eyes. Can't be told to you. You can't figure it out intellectually and ever see it. It just happens. That fellow asked me one time, he was a Campbellite. He believed, you know, he got saved by the water. The one, you know, being baptized. And he's always harping on his water baptism. And always riding my back. Because I was a Baptist and I got saved before I got baptized. He said, this can't have that. He said, how do you know you got saved? I said, I don't know. I just know. I can't tell you how. I said, all I know is I was lost and I was going to hell. The judgment of God was abiding on me. The wrath of God was over me. And I said, all I know is one night I got down beside my bed and I got on my knees and begged God to forgive me of my sin under the conviction of the Holy Ghost. And I said, when I got up, I was saved. I said, I don't know no more how to explain that. I said, you explain it. It happened. I said, if it didn't happen to you, I don't care how many times you've been baptized, you're not going to get in. And that's the only way you can say it. But they had a unique birth. It was unique because it was not physical, but invisible or supernatural. Unique because it was not common, but it was mystical. There's a great mystery in being born into the family of God. Great mystery. All the supernatural works of God are mysteries. Paul talks about mystery after mystery. In chapter 15, verse 51 of 1 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul said, he said, behold, I show you a great mystery. I've got another great mystery, Paul said, I want to show you. He said, we shall not all sleep. Now, this is a mystery. The world can't understand this. Paul said, we shall not all sleep. In other words, we won't all be dead. He said, we'll not all be dead. We shall not all sleep. He said, but we'll be changed. We'll be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. At the last trump, he said, the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Those that are living at the resurrection of the saints of God, there's going to be the greatest mystery that the world's ever seen. While the graves are going to burst open, the Bible says, and give up the dead that's within them. And those living saints that are walking around on this earth, all of a sudden, just in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, they'll be changed and they'll be caught up with those that come out of the grave to meet the Lord in the air. Now, boy, there's a mystery there. But that's the work of God. You can't explain that to lost, blinded sinners. Ain't no way. Don't a lot of God's folk know it. Don't understand much yet. It's a mystery. This Bible is full of mysteries. And the new birth is the greatest mystery that this world has ever seen. There's no way that they can solve it. Nicodemus was a ruler of the Jews. He was a man that knew the Scripture. Scriptures, the Bible teaches us, he was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He had studied the law from Genesis all the way through the five books of Moses. He knew the history of Israel, had studied the Kings, the Chronicles. He knew the poetic books of the Bible from cover to cover. He had studied the night print. He knew what the prophets said. But my friend, he was in the dark as to the kingdom of God. He knew it all up here. He had a great mental concept. But he says, I don't understand what you're saying. How can a man be born when he's old? Jesus said, it's by the Spirit. By the Spirit. By the Spirit of God. You know this man. He was in the world. The world was made by him. The world knew him not. He came into his own. His own received him not, but as many as received him. As many as received him. It was not a physical, but an invisible or a supernatural, spiritual birth. This crowd here that he labels as the as many was born not the second time in a common way, but in a mysterious way. Their natures were changed, just like that. Just turned over and they was changed. Folks said, did you hear about old Terry Worthen when I got saved? Some nearly going on 13 years now. Said, you hear about him? You hear what I mean? He quit drinking. See, that's all they knew about. They said, he quit drinking. Because, you know, he don't want to shuffle them cards no more. He don't want to play poker no more with us like he used to. He said something happened to him. Somebody said he got religious. See, that's all the world knows. They say you quit this and you quit that. You know, you just got religious. And there's no way. I've talked to friends of mine. I said, you know, no, one time I got born again. They didn't know what I was talking about. Born again. Just like Nicodemus. They didn't know what he's talking about.
I got born again. I mean, I got born again out of this life into a life that I didn't know. That's what it was all about.
And it was an act, not of man, but an act of God. He said it wasn't of the will of blood. Wasn't by blood, it wasn't by the will of the flesh, neither by the will of man, but they were born of God. They were born of God. They were born of God. The Spirit of God had birthed them into the family of God. Peter said, being born again, not of corruptible, but of the incorruptible seed of God. The Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. That's the way it happened, friend. I don't understand it. All I know is a fellow just took this word and kept hammering on me, telling me what a sinner I was, how ungodly, miserably wretched that I was. He just kept hammering away, using that word, showing me and cutting me off everywhere I tried to go. And everything I tried to justify, he just chopped that thing in two. By the Word of God, he said, it's wrong. You keep at it, you're going to hell. And that old word reached right down in here. Took root in here. Right in there. It took root. Before I knew it, could explain it. I was a new creation in Christ. Old things had passed away. And behold, all things have become new. And I want you to notice this. The unique birth was the very cause. And that's the cause of what? Verse 13 is the cause of verse 12. See, so many folks try to get the apple cart before the horse. But verse 13 is the cause of verse 12. You ought to mark that and remember that. A lot of folk go out here and use verse 12, but they don't know what to do with verse 13. They can't explain verse 13. Why did it fall in where it failed at? Well, see, it's the very cause of verse 12. This is the birth, see, is the very cause of the unique relationship that we have with God. It was because we were born again that we did receive Him. Somebody said, I don't understand that. Well, I'm sorry. Because that's just the way it is. I know that's foreign, isn't it, to what you hear generally, but that's just the way it is. Somebody said, always talking about, said, I got saved. I got born again. No, you got born again before you got saved. That's that light coming in and dispelling that darkness that will not apprehend that light. That light that comes in the inward man and opens up that old dead spirit and gives life to that spirit. That's what it is. Man's got to get born again before you can ever reason with him with this word. He ever gets that spiritual light in there. That life comes in. Quickens that old dead spirit. Some folk can't see far as their nose in front of them. With the Bible. Must always harping on whosoever will. And it will. Whosoever will. I believe that. Man can believe. Whosoever believeth, he'll be saved. Man gets thirsty. Whosoever drinketh, he'll get a drink of the water of life. He'll live forever. Man gets hungry. Whosoever hungers, you'll get a taste of the bread of life and live forever. Man's weary, whosoever cometh and whosoever resteth, you'll get rested from all of his labors. But how's he going to do that, whosoever, if he's dead? And that's what the Bible says he is. He's dead. By an inward work of grace, it starts out yonder. It comes in here, touches something in here, causes it to be alive, responsive to God. Then that responsiveness, that life that's in there, responds to what it's been woke up to. It's been woke up to God. Therefore, it's got a created hunger in here for God now. It's been woke up to God. It's got a created thirst in here for God. It's been woke up to sin and the burden of guilt. And so it's unrestful until it gets to the place where it rest is. And that's only in God. But see, it had to start out there. He was dead. He was dead. God Almighty had to move, take the initiative and move out there in that old cemetery of the world and reach in that soul and down into the very depths of that man and touch that spirit that's dead in trespasses and sin and give it life before it could ever come hungry and thirsting after God. Now that fella comes out there like that. He gets up from the dead out there. He comes on. And he'll be saved. You'll be saved. See, a dead man can't make any motions. You go up here to witness this morning, they got a corpse in there. You can wash him up, clean him up, dress him up, prop him up, scotch his eyes open. But he don't know nothing about what you do. He's dead. The Bible said in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1 that sinners are dead in trespasses and sins. He said, ye hath he quickened, made alive. Who was dead?
In sin and trespasses.
So verse 13 is the very cause of verse 12. You remember that. This is it. This is the key of what he's saying here.
which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. These are the as many. But as many as received him, to them gave he power or authority or the right to become the sons of God, even to them which believe on his name. All right, now notice something here. And it was a special grant from God, a special privilege from God for these to be called the sons of God. As I mentioned, this is a legal term. This is legal relationship with God. They were born again, and God not only wanted them birthed into the family of God, but God Almighty to give them legal heirship with Jesus Christ, to give them an equal legal heirship with Christ. God Almighty said, I'm going to adopt the men. And this is what we see here. We see the legality of sonship in chapter 1 and verse 12 of John. He's talking about adoption, being adopted. We're not only born of God, but we're adopted of God. Therefore, we have the right to be called the sons of God. It matters not what anyone says about you. If you've been born again, God Almighty adopted you in. And it matters not where a man says you're going to heaven or you're going to hell. It matters not where a man doubts you or believes you. It makes no difference, my friend, because God has settled the matter. You're His child. Nothing can destroy. No matter how many railing accusations men bring against you, the Bible said you've got the right to be called the sons of God. God gave you this right, sir. John said this is something to behold. John said in 1 John 3 and 1, he said, behold, what manner of love that the Father hath bestowed. Now the Father done this. You know, this is a blessed thought here. We have something unique in this time that we're living in that no other dispensation of men's ever had. Did you know through the Old Testament time, Abraham didn't call him Father. Abraham called him his God. El Shaddai, the provider. He called him by many titles, but Abraham never had the blessed privilege of owning and calling God his Father. What about that? Noah never called him Father. Enoch, though Enoch walked with him, though Enoch fellowship with him and communed with him, though Enoch was translated by him, yet Enoch never owned him, not one time, his Father. The prophets didn't know him as Father. Isaiah didn't call him Father. Jeremiah didn't call him Father. Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Amos, all the way down the line, couldn't know him as Father. But we come into a dispensation where all things are brought into full focus. And Christ fulfills everything that was written against man. And in his death, bears the curse on the cross. And in his resurrection, gives us the authority to only, not only as our God, but as our Father. He's our Father. He's our Father. John said, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. John said, this is something to behold. This is something to marvel at. Just lay it down before you and just look at it and be astonished over the fact. He said, behold it. What manner of love that the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, notice this now. Therefore, he goes right back to what he said here in John chapter 1. John's talking exactly
about what he's talking about right here in John 1, 10 through 13. He says, therefore, the world knows us not because it knew him not. And what about that? John said, we're the children of God. We've got the right to be called the children of God because we've been born of God. He said, therefore, the world knoweth us not. Because, he said, I told him, chapter 1, verse 10, he knew him not. We're just like Jesus. Praise God, we're just like Jesus. We're loners in this world, friend. We're outcasts to the world. The world can't know you. It didn't know Jesus. You're a race that's separate from all mankind. What about that? The Bible said you're neither angels nor men. You're a separate race. You're Christians. Christians, that's Christ-like. You got the features of him. They didn't recognize him. They didn't know him. They didn't receive him. John says, therefore, they won't recognize you. They won't know you. They won't receive you. Well, we got a unique relationship here. No creature's ever had the relationship that the church of the living God has with God. Well, this is a unique relationship. There is such a thing. Now, it's a brotherhood of men. But let me explain it. Creature relationship makes all men brothers. I don't care whether you like that fellow next door to you or not. You're related to him. We all come from the same place. I had one daddy. That was old Daddy Adam. Matters not whether you like it or not. Every man came from Adam. Therefore, all men, creative wise, are brothers. There's a brotherhood there. But let me give you something. There is a brotherhood within the brotherhood. This is unique. You have to be birthed into this. There has to be a change to bring you into this. See, we don't take the same platform with the liberals. They said all men are brothers. That God's the Father of all men. Now, I refute that. God is not the Father. He's the God of all men. He owns every man by creation. Whether he apostatizes from God, whether he confirms himself into atheism, where he becomes a renowned agnostic, it doesn't matter. God Almighty, the Creator of man, owns all men by creation. But he doesn't own them under his fatherhood. He doesn't even know them, the Bible says, in a father relationship. He only knows those who've been born by the Spirit of God. And what he said, Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, 22, the Bible said that they came to him in that day professing this and that. But what did Christ say? He said, depart from me, ye that work iniquity, I never knew you. He only knows those that are redeemed by his blood. Those that are born of the Spirit of God. This is a unique relationship. But it's because of the unique birth that we've had with him. But as many as received him, to them gave he power or the right to become the sons of God.
Let me give you this in closing. We mentioned this is an unusual right. It's a unique right, a unique privilege that not the vast majority ever knows, but only a very, very few. Don't everyone ever know this relationship, this privilege that we're talking about? Only a very few. Men that's never born again, never know this relationship. It's unusual, secondly, because in the fact that no creature in all of God's creation outside of these that's been born again ever realized such a relationship. Not even the angels know this. Did you realize that? The angels don't even know the relationship that the as many does in John 1:12. They don't know. They've never experienced it. They desired it. For the Bible said, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 11, the Bible said, there of which the angels, of which things the angels desired to look into, but they couldn't have no part of it. See, right now, I'm a little lower than the angels. That's what the Bible says. God made Jesus for a little while a little lower than the angels. When He came in flesh, He dwelt among us. When He died in humility on the cross of Calvary. But now, see, Christ has been exalted back, and He's above every name mentioned. He's above every name mentioned. There's not an angel in heaven that don't have to bow to the authority and worship Him. But do you understand here? I've got equal rights with Jesus. Because I'm a Christian. I've been born again. Therefore, the resurrection, I'm going to be exalted. That's what He said in His Word, didn't He? Did He say He's going to exalt Him? He said, I'll exalt Him to my right hand. That's exactly where He's going to exalt the church of the living God to. And listen, the angels that desired this relationship, that looked into it and wondered and marveled over this thing, who are higher creatures than we are now, one day the angels are going to bow and worship not only Christ, but His church in the same relationship. No other creature's ever been blessed to experience such a relationship as the church of the living God does. This select few right here, as many, He said, as many as received Him. To them gave He power or the right to become the sons of God. But I want you to notice this now. This right is distinguished in that it involves an aggressive act. This is not something that's passive that He's talking about here. This is an active statement that He's making here. It's something that materializes. You're not just caught up in a world of mystery, but it's something that takes place in your life. That's what He's talking about here. Been born again. He says this as many are they that's been born of God. There's an active relationship that comes in their life. There's an aggressive act that takes place here. See, it's something that you can know up here, but praise God, it's something. It's not only that, it's something that you can feel down here. Now, I wouldn't have man's salvation that bases it mainly on feelings all the time, because, you know, you get up today, you might feel pretty good and think you're saved. You get up tomorrow, you might not feel so good. You might have a headache. Not know where you're saved now. See, but this thing touches the whole man. It touches the whole man. It's not just something here, but it's something down here. It's not just something in here, but it's something up here. When God saves a man,
That man is united with God wholly, completely. The whole heart is brought into relationship with God. That's what he's talking about. This right is distinguished in that it involves an aggressive act. The whole man, the total personality, is brought into relationship with God. In other words, the will says amen. The will bows and says amen to the fact that you've been born again. Not only that, but the affections agree and bear witness with the will. And together with the will, the affection says amen to this thing. And not only that, but the emotions. See, there's feeling in this thing. Praise God. Folk, I mean, sometimes I wonder, you know, about folk, were they saved or not? They talk like they are and say they are. Don't ever get excited about this thing. I can't help getting excited about this. It does something to me. The more I think about it, the more that I look into this matter of being born again, being saved, and knowing God as my Heavenly Father, having a relationship with Him, the more I can say with John, behold, behold it, folks. You ever just wanted to run out and tell somebody, look, behold what's happening to me? You ever want to do that? What causes that? That's the emotion. That's that feeling down here. You see, the will, the affections, the emotions, and the whole intellect. When a man's brought to God, everything about man, his total personality gives assent to the verdict of God. You see, God brings us out of a state of condemnation into a state where he says there is now no condemnation. And see, the whole man says, amen to that. Amen to that. God brings us out of a state of darkness, a world of darkness, into a blessed place of radiant, glorious light. The light of the kingdom of Christ. That's what we've been delivered to. Out of the kingdom of darkness, Paul said, into the marvelous kingdom of his dear Son. The light of his dear Son. Boy, we come into that. God bears testimony that we've been delivered out of darkness. We're in a new world. And the whole personality shouts, amen. The will shouts, amen. The affection shouts, amen. The emotion shouts, amen. The intellect, everything about the redeemed child of God, gives witness. Shouts amen to what's taking place. This something that happened. That's something just to think about, argue over, wonder about. But it's something to glory in. That's what it is to be saved for. It's something to glory in. Praise God, you are a unique race of people if you've been born into the family of God. You're not like no man that walks this earth out here that's lost without God. Matters not what his station in life is. You're separate from him if you're a child of God. You're not even like the angels. You've got a different relationship. You're Christian. Means you're Christ-like. Just like Jesus. Got the same relationship with God that Jesus had. Isn't that blessed? Paul said we're joint heirs with Christ. Heirs of God, and he said, blessed be God, better than that, we're joint heirs with Christ. In other words, what's his is mine, what's mine is his. We're on equal terms. And in eternity, we're going to behold the riches of His grace without end.